today on Real Radio.
It's God's perfect word, and the Holy Spirit will use it. The more you listen, the more you eat of the Bible, guess what? The more you're going to hear Him speak. Why? Because that's what He uses.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called You Need to Know. This collection of lessons is about the essentials of our faith, beginning with the attributes of Almighty God. And this lesson really takes a close look at that. Pastor Jack explains one of the most misunderstood aspects of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a mini-series called You Need to Know, all about God, the Holy Spirit.
But soon you're going to learn that it is none other than the Holy Spirit that, listen, if you reject His offering to have the salvation of the Son, if you reject His invitation, you are committing the one and only sin for which Jesus did not die for. What? I thought the Bible says Jesus died for all sin. He did die for all sin. All sin. Everything that you can do regarding your sin, He died for that. But there's one sin that if you persist to commit, Jesus said, and we'll see it, you will not be forgiven of that sin in this life or in the life to come. What is it? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What is that? Not accepting the invitation given by the Holy Spirit to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. This should shock, in a good way, some of you here today. God will not bend your arm and make you believe. What kind of a perverted freak relationship would it be if you walked up to your girlfriend or your fiance or your husband or your wife and you said to them, listen, I'm going to put hot coals of fire on the bottom of your feet until you love me. That's insane. Are you with me? Look, if you don't love me, I'll break your arm. The invitation goes out. How? By the Holy Spirit. To invite you to be forgiven and to come to Christ. To know God personally. Not join this church. Not give money, to know Him. And He invites you to come. And you say, no, I don't have the time. Think about it later. And you keep doing what Pharaoh did. You keep standing in that cement, as it were, until your opinion is set. I'm not going to come to Jesus. Only God knows that, by the way. He knows. No one knows. I don't know. You don't know. But there'll be a day, I hope it's nobody within the hearing of my voice, there'll be a day that someone will say, that's it. And that's their last time to say it. I am not, get away from me regarding Jesus. Little do they know, it's the last moment that God had given them. It's the last opportunity. The door shuts. And that's, listen, their rejection will never be forgiven. Oh man, where's the love of God? Are you serious? The love of God has been that He has put up with your rebellious, self-righteous, arrogant, sinful, pride, puffed face, giving your fist at God and using all of His oxygen and food and air, water, despising Him all the days of your life, using His name as a curse word, and you say, where's the love of God? He put up with you for so long. What, 50 years, 80 years, 62 years, 13 years? He put up with us. The Bible says, come to Him now. Come while there's yet time. It's a decision that you and you alone make, but you got to listen to Him because He's been inviting you. And maybe some of you have been receiving that invitation from the Lord in life. Hardship, difficulties, sometimes goodness He uses to wake us up. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring us to Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 4, verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Wow. What's the result? We cry, Abba, Father. But it's by the Holy Spirit that you come to that place. Think of the love. Think of the fellowship of the Spirit, the family of God, that God, the Holy Spirit, prompts you to know God so well that you would say to him and be happy about it, "Papa, Papa, this is Jack, and I'm calling out to you. I need help." The next thing, number four, we're almost done, is all about God, the Holy Spirit, is that God, the Holy Spirit, is our teacher. Did you know that? He's our teacher. The work of the Holy Spirit as our teacher, Jesus said it in John 16, beginning at verse 7. This is amazing. I know you've heard this verse a lot. I love it because it just, I want to see the disciples when they first heard it for the first time. I wish we could have had a camera there. Jesus says to them, imagine, they've been with him, they've seen the dead raised, lepers are cleansed, people are forgiven, they've seen miracles when they were hungry, you know, he fed them. And then he says to them in John 16, verse 7, don't you want to see their face? Nevertheless, listen up, guys. Yeah, Jesus, what's up? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Yeah, that's what we've learned to expect from you, only the truth. You are the truth. This is awesome. Yeah, what's up? It's to your advantage that I go away. Excuse me, we thought you just said that you're going to leave. Oh, that's exactly right. I'm leaving. Can you imagine? You can't. We cannot imagine. Because we've never walked with him physically like that. That Jesus would say, how's it going, you guys? It's going awesome. And Jesus, that walking on the water thing, cool. That was the best. Okay, well, that's great. Because nevertheless, in light of all that stuff, you know what's better than all that? What could be better than that? What could be better than that is me leaving. Excuse me? It's better for you that I leave. I want this to sink in for a moment. We're 2,000 years removed. Sometimes we have the tendency to go, poor us, poor, poor us. We don't get to see him walk around. Jesus said, it's better for you that you don't, because the Holy Spirit's coming, and he's come. This should hit you right now. Go ahead and leave it on the screen. This should hit us. Why isn't my walk more awesome? Why don't I see God do things? I want to be given a greater revelation of God's power. Well, what else do you want him to do? He's given you his Holy Spirit. I think the thing is, he's waiting for us. I bet he's up in heaven saying, Michael, Gabriel, what's with those sweet little knuckleheads of mine? They need to get out there with all the power. I put like a super duper rocket engine on a bicycle. I mean, they need to get out there and go do my word, and then the power shows up. I want to see some power. God says, yeah, me too. Get out there and you'll tap into the power. No, I want to see some power now, right here from my couch. I'm just going to sit here and I want to see Christianity happen here. He's saying, forget about it. Get up and go to the world and I'll be with you. I'll open doors, man. I'll do whatever. If you just follow me, get out. I mean, he says that lovingly. He says, I love you. Get out. Go live your faith radically. Live for God. See, we've got this thing about, is it somewhere in my remote? Which button do I press? Holy Spirit power. Which one is it? Which one is that? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, that was the day of Pentecost, remember? He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Translation, with my resurrection, Satan just got his front teeth knocked out. He's in deep trouble. His kingdom has been shattered. So Jesus is saying, you get up and go because you've got all power that has been given to you. He is our teacher, says the Bible. John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Church, mark this verse down. Write it on your notes or your right hand or someone's forehead. Write it down. Write this verse down, okay? Why? Look at it. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to come in my name. He's going to be sent by the Father. Again, another verse on the Trinity. He's going to teach you all things. Jesus said that. And to bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Jesus said, I have come. Jesus said, I will fulfill all the word of God. When Jesus rose again from the dead, remember this, he met on the Emmaus Road two disciples, and they said, did he not expound to us the word of God beginning at Moses? The word of God. The word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. You say, what are you yelling for? For this reason. Jesus is the Holy Spirit's going to teach you. Okay? If somebody comes along, and I don't care if it's the person sitting next to you, or you in your own head, or somebody on a platform like this, if somebody comes along and says, hey, you guys, I'm really excited about today. I want you to, now you won't find this in your Bible. It's a new revelation from God. It's something God showed me in fasting and prayer. So get ready to write it down. I've got a word from the throne room of God. It's a prophetic utterance from God. Here it is. Are you ready? Don't miss it. Listen, don't miss it. You ought to get up and run out of the building. You never add to the word of God. Oh, but the Lord showed me. Whoa, wait a minute. Listen, the Holy Spirit is your teacher, meaning he will only use the word of God to teach you that which Jesus said, that which is written, and listen, he will not give you some man's opinion or feeling or emotion or hormone or last night's dinner. The Holy Spirit will always exalt Jesus, honoring the word of God. He cannot do otherwise. Think of it. Oh, you know what? I know the Bible says this, but I've been praying. Oh, gosh, hang on to your seat. I know the Bible says this, but I've been praying. And I really feel like my heart is telling me, you are in a heap of self-imposed deception. But my heart, I felt it in my heart. I don't care what you say, Pastor. I mean, in fact, when I thought about it, I got goosebumps, and I know. I'm dead serious. Are you kidding me? The Holy Spirit will never speak anything that is contrary to or out of context of the Bible. Meaning, listen, do you know how the cults survive? The cults are masters at not doing that. The cults do the other. The cults wind up finding a verse right here. Let's use this verse. And then let's go over 2,000 pages. And let's use this verse. And we're going to need to find something that justifies this so we can kind of find that writing about this verse. Did you know not only did Jesus not teach that way, the Bible tells you not to be taught that way. You are to take the whole counsel of God. Some people say, no, this is how the Lord leads me. Watch, I just move my Bible, close my eyes, and then plant my finger right there, and it says here, Judas went out and hung himself. You do that likewise. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as you study the Bible, as you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to teach you. What do you think he's preserved this for 2,000 years? Isn't it awesome? I mean, we have satellites and space shuttles and all kinds of stuff going on. And yet this thing still stands. Look at it. Look at it. It drives people nuts. I found a contradiction in the Bible. No, you didn't. I love the fact that you think you did. Very cute. But go ahead and research it. Everybody who does winds up getting saved, you know, because there's no boo-boos in the Bible. That should be a bumper sticker. No boo-boos in the Bible. No boo-boos. It's God's perfect word, and the Holy Spirit will use it. The more you, listen, the more you eat of the Bible, guess what? The more you're going to hear him speak. Why? Because that's what he uses. Yeah, but I heard this guy say, is it in the Bible? In the context? If it's not, listen, shake off the dust from your feet and run. Get out. And that applies for here too. If I say, gosh, you guys, that was amazing. I know you're not finding this in the Bible. I got this revelation from God. You need to just say, get out of here. It's very serious. I wrote earlier this morning, I should have changed it. God the Holy Spirit can be experienced is our argument number 5 today. God the Holy Spirit should be experienced. But let me explain what I mean by that. Now, then where I began, some people hear Holy Spirit and they go, oh no, that's it. I'm not. Because you've seen abuses. I've seen them. Years ago, Lisa and I went and visited a church that was just getting started. There's thousands of people attending, and we're just there looking around, and the pastor goes, okay, everybody, here we go. Whoa. Hang on. Do you see what's happening over here, you guys? Do you see what's happening? We're like, what's going on? And he goes, the guy goes, look, that's it. What? Coming down the aisle. What? Well, I didn't know if it was I couldn't see anything. I didn't know if it was a little skunk or something, someone very short. We were like, we're a little straining. Who is it? Do you know them? Who's it is? What is it? And he goes, I'm not kidding you guys. He goes, here comes the Holy Spirit right here. Oh, I'm serious. There he is. Right here. There he is. Right over there. We're like, what? Wah, wah, wah. It was like, what a disappointment. We thought, that's not how he moves. That's not how he is. Yes, you can experience the works of the Holy Spirit, but he's not some out of control. He's not the third person of the Trinity while the other two are saying, you know, you kind of need to keep it down a little bit. Look, we've met with ourselves and we want to tell you, you need to tone it down. That's not him. He is absolutely the perfect gentleman. And look, I say this in a human way because I don't have the right way to say it, but if there were any regarding the Trinity of God that would be someone that you want to make sure you have a very, very close relationship with, it would be the Holy Spirit. Number one, he's inside of you, Christian. Number two, non-believer, he is all around you saying, listen to this, because you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And thirdly, it's his job to present the Christian into the arms of Jesus, either A, at the rapture, or B, at the moment of your death. That's his job. Only once you die and you're with the Lord does he go, okay, done with Jack, next. That's his job for you. To give you enlightenment, to give you joy, to give you power, to give you peace. Thank God in this crazy world to give you reason. In a mixed up world. Yeah, he's to be experienced. John 16:13. Jesus says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, number one, he will guide you into all truth. Number two, he will not speak on his own authority. Isn't that amazing? He will not speak on his own authority. That ought to raise an eyebrow. What is that all about? But, Jesus answers, whatever he hears, he will speak. That is amazing. Because Jesus said, I only speak what I've been told to speak from my Father. Remember that when he was on earth? I only tell you what my Father tells me to say. Now, for the last 2,000 years, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit only says that which he's told to say. Listen to the unity of God. And he will tell you things to come. That is not you're going to turn left in a few hours or you're going to have a pink nose tomorrow. Not that. He is illuminating. He's telling you things. He's going to give you light to understand. Why? Verse 14, he will glorify me. Jesus Christ says the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. Not some person. So very quickly, you guys okay? Yeah. You're very quiet. We're almost done, really. I mean it. Experiencing the Holy Spirit in the positive. What does that look like? Like this, and I'll go by this fast. Before we were Christian, he was always convicting us of our sins. Now that we're a Christian, he convicts us of our sins for fellowship's sake, not for salvation's sake. Experiencing the Holy Spirit, he awakens us to our need for Jesus. This is when we're coming to faith in Christ. For example, if somebody were to say to you, do you know Jesus? No, I'm not a Christian. Oh, but you need him. Why do I need him? Well, have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah, I mean, just a little bit. So you're a liar. The Bible says you're a liar if you've told a lie. Well, have you ever looked at a man or a woman and lusted after them with your heart? Oh, yeah, but I've never done anything. The Bible says you're an adulterer. You see? We need him. The Holy Spirit begins to awaken you. He's the indwelling power in our lives at the moment of conversion. He empowers you and I to grow as a believer. He increases our understanding of the Bible. He gives us discernment between what is false and what is true. He administers to us the gifts of the Holy Spirit as a Christian in a local church. He gives you security knowing that you belong to God. Isn't that beautiful? And listen, he presents you to the Father in the end. And I end with this final verse, you guys. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, Turkey, chapter 4, verse 30. He says to the believers, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Do not grieve him. To grieve the Holy Spirit is to, the word means to put him off. It would be as though someone would come up with an urgent or happy message for me. And I would just kind of, not violently, but just in a way, it's okay. And I just push the guy away. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. As he's speaking to you as a Christian, Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. But what if you're not a Christian today? In Genesis, I believe, chapter 6, God spoke and he said, "My Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit, "will not always strive with man." This is a terrifying comment. God said, "My Spirit will not always strive with man. My Spirit will not always put up with man's junk. There'll come a day when I close the door." By the way, he said that regarding Noah in 120 years, that year that he said it, the door was shut on the ark. And a generation was swept away. Has God been striving with you? Has God had to strive with you? Has God put up with you? Isn't he wonderful? You think it's amazing. "Well, you know, my wife's put up with me." My wife's put up with me too. But there comes a time, listen, there comes a time when God says, "I'm done putting up with you. My Spirit will not always strive with you. And you have no guarantee that you'll see tomorrow's light. You have no guarantee that you'll see the sunset today." If you're not a Christian today, you need to change right now. What are your arguments? I'd love to hear them. I've been a Christian 37, almost 38 years, and I have not yet heard a good argument as to why someone's not a Christian. They always go emotional on me. Even when they started, "Well, you know, the scientific evidence is," and then you start questioning that, and then they wind up confessing that they're all upset about some Christian that ticked them off 40 years ago. It gets real personal real quick. And their battle is not with you or with somebody else or that Christian from 40 years ago. They start battling with the God they claim not to believe in. I'm not asking you to join this church. You can't join it. People just show up and leave. That's what happens here. "But I want to be a member." Then we'll print up a little membership card and give it to you and let you think you're a member. But listen, there's only one membership. And that's by you putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Have you done that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called "You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit," a look at what Scripture has to say about the third person of the Trinity. It's a lesson that's part of Pastor Jack's topical series called "You Need to Know." And we'll continue with more of "You Need to Know" on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you know, you can write Pastor Jack anytime and let him know if Real Radio is a part of your day. Here's what one Real Radio listener recently wrote. "Pastor Jack, I listen to Real Radio Monday through Friday at 2:30 here in Maryland. That's my quality time with the Lord while I'm driving the carpool. Keep preaching the glorious truth that filled me and set me free. God bless you." That one comes from Gilda in Maryland. Thanks for that, Gilda. So send Pastor Jack a message. He loves to hear from you. It's easy, too. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.